getting some information regarding the contract or supposedly contract between the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance, who implement recommendations of Ellenville $1 million committee. We have asked quite a few people have some concerns. We have asked Suzanne Holt and Judy to be here today.
Julie.
And actually, they're going to explain what the process was, what monies are going to where, and there'll be questions and answers. So, stating all that, Julie, would you kindly come up and just give a brief explanation of how you arrived at what's before us tonight?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Just come right up here.
Thank you very much. So my name is Julie Lonstein, and I was appointed to the Ellenville Million Task Force. You can't hear me?
Is that
better?
It's
fine.
No, it's tough.
It was the Ellenville
legislature.
So, good afternoon. My name is Julie Lonstein, and I was appointed in January by the county executive to be one of the members of the Ellenville Million Task Force. And we were appointed with the task of formulating a plan to help economic development in Ellenville and how to seed growth and give us an opportunity after the failed attempt to get the casino license at the Neverly Hotel. And what's important to note to all of you is I've lived in Ellenville for 25 years. I've raised my children there, I have my business there, my husband has his business there. This is the first time in 25 years that I saw actual nonpartisan cooperation and the ability of a town and village and all of its residents to get together to promote the casino license and the Neverly for Ellenville. When that didn't happen, even though we're economically depressed by statistics, I would say that all of the citizens were extremely depressed because that was our hope for growth. We have no industry. We have no factories. We are no longer the tourism Borscht Belt location that it used to be when I was growing up. And the vision from what we understood when we were appointed for the Ellenville Million was to come up with a plan of how to spend $1 million, not to just spend it, but to seed growth and bring businesses in and bring new community members in and be a phoenix to rise from these ashes. So we started in January of 2015 after the State of the County address, and the committee consisted of myself as the chairperson, and I am a business owner, I am an attorney in Ellenville. Also, Reverend Julius Collins, who is here today, Steve Kelly, the CEO and president of Ellenville Regional Hospital, Mary Shealy, private business person, former legislator, Phil Coombe, a private business person, Richard Travers, also president of the Roundout Valley Business Association and private business person. And we met once a week from January through June, probably invested a good 10 hours each of our private time, taken away from everything else that we got paid for. This was a labor of love. And we volunteered our time to sift through all of the proposals that came in from public meetings, from outside, everybody, people from California were emailing us with suggestions of how to revitalize Ellenville. People, what was amazing was the amount of people that had connections and ties to our community and had such, and were so vested in seeing it be successful. So after studying all of the proposals and bucketing what was appropriate for public money, what was appropriate for private industry, we came up with our suggestions and recommendations of how to allocate the $1 million into our community. Did we come up with an implementation plan? No, that wasn't what we were tasked to do. We were tasked to come up with the ideas that best provided a blueprint to start the process. I know that all of you have been given them. I'm happy to answer any questions about any of the recommendations that we made. I'm happy to go over them. What we're fully transparent, although we were not a public committee, we really took our assignment seriously and came up with what we felt was the best way to kickstart our community to for everybody else in the world to see what we had to offer. We have some of the most... Yes, I'm sorry.
No, I'll let her finish and we'll have questions and answers.
I was just going to expand about how beautiful Amber is and how many assets we have, but that's okay.
I was just wondering, as you had different proposals on how to spend $1 million, what was the criteria you used, what measurable criteria to decide what made your recommendation list and how much money would go to it?
I would say that more than 50% of the proposals that came in were suggestions on what to do with the Neville property. Obviously, nobody in this room owns or has control of the Neville property, so we could not accept any of those proposals and promote them because it's not ours or anyone, it's privately owned. So that's one example. There were a lot of duplicate recommendations, and we were not going to be funding private businesses. Plenty of people were looking for loans, plenty of people were looking for grants. So it took a lot of man hours and manpower to go through each and every request to understand what we could move forward with and make a good faith recommendation and what we couldn't. Was that responsive? Because if it wasn't, I'll continue.
Well, I was thinking in terms of jobs created for future economic development benefits and whether you had any kind of matrix that you used.
Yes, we did.
How that worked.
Absolutely. And those were the criteria that we looked at how we could develop jobs and how the projects that we... And it's not specific projects that we recommended, but specific initiatives to help develop jobs, to help maximize our tourism asset, which is so underutilized right now. And if you think of hiking and you think of Ulster County, you don't think of Ellenville, you think of other towns, which is great. They're beautiful, but we have assets also.
Before we go on, I just want to thank you and your committee for your hard efforts and putting all the time in and coming up with proposals. I can assure you, and I have to speak for the Ways and Means Committee, I think, that this is not political in any way, shape, or form. I just want that to be very clear. We postponed it last week because there was a lot of questions on how you arrived at your designation of the monies and to what agencies. And that's why we have this meeting here tonight that the... You know, we felt a little uncomfortable giving $1 million without knowing exactly what the process was, why you picked this agency over that agency, the amount of money you put into this agency versus another agency. I can assure you it's non-political in any way, shape, or form, but a lot of people felt very uncomfortable regarding moving forward without being part of the process. You know, and there again, you know, this informational meeting probably should have took place months ago. With legislators, but it didn't. Here we are today, so we can't go backwards. We're going to go forward. You know, there again, I did receive from last week one municipality that has asked for a substantial amount of money for your particular town. I'm sure there's going to be other townships that are going to come in here and ask for monies too. I mean, we realize the importance of the casino for, at least I do, casinos for Ellenville. It did not happen for whatever reason. There again, we're trying to jumpstart that economy up there in some way, shape, or form. So that's why this meeting's taking place today, and we would like to know some answers on basically why you chose what you did choose before us. So that's where we're going.
That's fine, and I'm happy to answer any other questions specifically.
Carl.
Yeah, first of all, I want to kind of change the wording of what people are saying about this money, about spending, because spending has such a negative effect. I'd like to think of it as investing. I represent the town of Esopus. You know, we're on the other side of the county. we could definitely use $1 million, but I don't have a problem with the process. I think the process was legitimate and it was heartfelt for the community. I guess my question now is, though, so tonight, when the legislature votes on this resolution and it passes, I'm assuming, the procurement process of the services that you need, is that still under county control? And that might be for the, okay. So the Economic Development Agency is going to assure that bidding processes for the services that you're going to need, whether it be studies or vendors, is going to go through the county's purchasing department.
Suzanne, you want to answer, or Ken, who wants to answer?
I would just say that it's going to go through the Economic Development Alliance, and so we have the resources of the county behind us. I know that the contract anticipates doing an RFP for the tourism-related services. When the Economic Development Alliance has done that before, we've gotten help from the county attorney's office, we've gotten help from the purchasing department. We're not bound by the county's requirements in the same way, but we follow their rules just the same. And we've gotten, and the resources of the county helps the Economic Development Alliance.
Well, I think the question is, Suzanne, is there a bidding process through that you have to go through, or is it, what process do you have to go through? And secondly, I know you mentioned last week about different agencies have to fund the project themselves, and then the county would reimburse
right.
those expenses.
Right.
Can you just explain that in a little more detail?
Sure. So the Economic Development Alliance doesn't have the same requirements that the county has for bids and RFPs and whatnot. The tourism, the $100,000 for tourism, there's going to be an RFP. Some of the categories of funding that the $11 million has recommended are going to go to, for example, the water and sewer would go to the town and village. The parks are going to go to the entities that control the parks that get the work done. They're going to have to submit a plan to the county. So there's not going to be, or there's a $25 for Main Street that's going to go to the village of Ellenville. The process that's set up, and it's in the contract, is that the for each of the 9 components, there will be a plan submitted to the Economic Development Alliance, which is going to have to be approved. Once the plan is approved, they can spend the money, and then they will get reimbursed. They'll submit receipts, and then the Economic Development Alliance, just like if you got a state grant. These organizations are used to applying for state grants. It's the same thing when you get a state grant. You spend the money, you submit the receipts to the state, and then you get reimbursed. The second thing you just asked me to explain was, I'm sorry. You just asked me for 2 things. One was the
process of going through, and then
was
going to
be involved.
Yeah, as it can, or the procedure that you were going to take is the same procedure as the county when they go out the bid.
Right, and so there's not a requirement that we do that, but we are planning on using the RFP process for tourism and others that are that are similar. Other components that are similar.
Okay.
I'm also going to add that as well. So I know we've had some conversations with legislators this week about, concerns about, accountability. I want to dispel this myth that there's this $1 million check that's being sent. No, there's very specific plans. Each discrete project has funding allocated to it. There will be an approved plan and then a reimbursement mechanism for each specific project. Say a particular plan did not pan out and the dollars were not spent, we would come back to the legislature for any dollars be reallocated to any other project within the mix. Also, we've agreed to have regular reports back to the legislature as we progress through the process. So I think we've spent a lot of time thinking about it. We have a thoughtful plan. And one, really, it's really relatively new for us. So we're trying some new ideas, but I think we have a thoughtful plan that our hope is we'll be successful and be able to build on that, this concept, this plan, so that we can implement it in bigger ways going forward to benefit, other parts of the county as well, too. So I think we have a new structure in place. We've been thoughtful. There's a plan. And we think that with reports back to the legislature, we've satisfied the concerns that we've heard from the legislature.
Ken, just a couple other concerns. Number one, casino out there had some delays, maybe not on their part, but on the state's part, whatever the case may be. They are rearing to go from what I know out there. They have not got a permit to proceed, so of course, monies are not coming in. Are we still on a time schedule of getting money in the year 2016, number one? Number two, how much money is Ulster County getting overall? And sure. Number three, for how many years are we getting that money?
It's a complex formula, but in simple terms, in 2016, when you see the executive budget that will come first week of October, it will have approximately $1 million allocated. That's what we're projecting will be the county share of those funds for 2016. These are recurring revenues. So while this is a one-time expenditure of funds, you will see $1 million plus going forward as a recurring revenue to the county from the casino licensure.
So how many years can we expect that $1 million to proceed?
That's about 20 copies.
There's no end date.
Need help.
And it's going to be definitely, even with the delay for the casino 2016.
Yeah, definitely.
The 16 budget will have these dollars in it.
Definitely.
We will have it, but are we going to get compensated from the state? Okay. TJ.
Just to let everybody know that the Economic Development Alliance also will be as needed, monthly, bi-monthly, but those are open meetings, so anybody is able to attend those meetings and to be part of the process or listen to process as it pans out, as we discussed the other day.
Well, I think a good component of that is to have an update that, yeah, through the economic development to, you know, give us a report to the Ways and Means on a quarterly basis so we know where we're going and all legislators know. Mary Beth?
Chairman, I thought part of this meeting was that Suzanne was going to go. She offered the other night, but we didn't have time to go through each line item, so we had questions about what she was saying. We could address them.
We could do that if that's what you'd like to do, yes. But let's answer some of the overall questions before we proceed.
Okay, we're jumping.
Chris?
My question actually is a segue on that, a little more specificity. So I'm looking at the different categories of the line items, and essentially I'm breaking it down. I guess I don't need my chair. I'm breaking it down, you know, if you're thinking and projecting out how these projects are going to actually be allocated and how the money's going to be spent, I kind of broke it down into a few categories. I mean, the $75,000 assistance to Shadowland Theater, my assumption would be that that project would be completed first, and that money would be spent initially. You know, that would be the first amount of these funds to be utilized and invested, because it's a pretty much cut and dry project what you're doing with that $75,000. So I'm just going to go down each line item, and I just have a couple questions. Very simple. I'm not looking to put anybody
on
the spot.
Hold on, Roseanne. I'm sorry. Suzanne, why don't you just come up here and just go? Let's go through each one like Mary Beth just
did. Do you want me to?
You can stand right there.
Okay.
Yeah. Go through each one quickly and then, you know,
sure,
tell them why, how they're going to proceed, and then if there's questions on each one. Go on.
Okay, so we start with the water and sewer improvement projects. It is my understanding that there's the town has water.
Can I speak on that?
Yes, please.
So I'd like to speak on that and just give a little background. When we first started the Ellenville Million Committee and we're meeting weekly, we were so gung-ho to bring new businesses into Ellenville. And I was approached by a big company that was looking for a new place to relocate. And we showed them a few properties in Ellenville. Suzanne was with me. And lo and behold, it wasn't going to work out, because although the village had sufficient... the property was in the town. Although the town had sufficient sewer, it did not have sufficient water, it did not have sufficient sewer. And in order for this business to make a viable move, it would have had to purchase water from the village as a non-resident and would have ended up paying 10 times the amount that they were currently paying for their water and sewer. So as part of our process in understanding how to bring business into Ellenville and to attract business, we realized that that would not be possible until we could make sure that those prospective businesses had sufficient water and sewer. So as a result of that, the Ellenville Million Committee inserted themselves between, and we have a village and town representatives here. We have the village manager, Joe Steckler, and we have the town supervisor, Lenny Distel, and a town councilman, Steve Bradley, who's also on the Hunt building, on the Hunt board, so he's wearing two hats. And we all worked together, and they, the town and the village, both municipalities, agreed that for the future of our community, it made sense to work together and broker an intermunicipal agreement to share services so that when a viable business opportunity comes to our community, we could support their needs.
And what is the $150 paying for?
It's paying for the infrastructure to connect the water and sewer pump station so that it will be seamless.
Okay, and that's a good number.
We hope so.
Tracy?
Yeah, I was going to ask, so following on Mary Beth's question, is that $150,000 the total, sum total project budget for
no,
making that connection?
No, it's to go towards that.
So what is the full project
budget? When the village and the town scope out how much work has to be done. Yes, Joe?
Just the good part of that, it's really a service line because there's not room right at the village for a big sewer user. The village just completed a $10 million sewer plant project. And it has quite a bit of capacity. It has something like 1 million gallons of capacity. So it's not something that's going to pay for a plant upgrade, which we don't know can be a tremendous cost overrun. It would be a line to go across the village line into the town. For those of you familiar with Ellenville, where the former charade plant was, or even further beyond there north. So it's really like a collection line, and as Mrs. Lonstein said, perhaps a pump station. So, you know, that's the purpose for it. The good news with it is the capacity is there. So it's a fairly well-delineated stop over that.
But what I'm trying to gather is what's the, because this project makes a lot of sense to me, and I think the communication is great. It's really exciting to hear the communication's happening as a result, maybe, of this process. But I'm trying to understand, $150,000, is that the beginning of the end of the project? What's the total project for what this connection
is? I think once something is cited in a specific spot, it could be determined. I would certainly think if somebody's going to put up a little factory, they would have some resources to put toward it. And then the village and the town district could also make up the difference because everybody's committed to it. It's also part of the governor's program for the tax cap freeze, the intermunicipal agreement for the water and sewer. So there's three or four things coming together.
Tracy, can I answer that?
I'm trying to gather, Joan, no disrespect, what's the total? I have no sense if this 150 is 110 or
100. You're not engineers. You have no plan that you can say this is the total amount that it's going to be. This is an amount towards getting that done.
And we can also say that until they submit a plan to ask for the $150,000, nobody's getting $150,000 until it's submitted that this is the cost for this project. Even if, assuming everything gets approved and we have the money to allocate, it can't go there until the process is followed.
Does anyone even have an estimate of what a project like this might cost? Again, because I'm naive to it. I don't know if we're talking about $1 million project,
$300,000
project. It sounds like a worthy project.
I would just say this much, if it helps get perspective, the land where something would go is about a half mile or a third mile from the sewer to the existing sewer plant. So it's not something that's got to go 5 miles or something that could go in an area that's rezoned that's 10 miles away. It's within a half mile.
For one particular property?
It's a tract, which it's a couple of parcels, but it's probably 100 acres there altogether. And it's within a half mile of the sewer plant. So that's the channel master plan at one time, I believe, was for what's hooked up to it. So that's still existing. So this may even be a quarter of a mile in total. But it's a quarter or a half mile is a quarter of a mile. That adds perspective.
So, Joe, you are not going to proceed in that with any kind of expenditure until you have a viable developer that's coming in with a proposed plan of what to do with that particular land?
That's my understanding.
That's your understanding? Is that the understanding?
No.
That's not the
understanding? No. It was our understanding that the village and the town were presenting a plan to move forward with this and how much it would cost in totality.
Correct.
And the 150 that's being allocated would go towards that.
Pentagon.
Quick question, just I guess I'm a little confused with it. We're looking for $150,000 to extend a pipe at a pump station to get whatever comes in hooked up and moved into the.
I think it's seed money to proceed with that whole project. Sir?
This wasn't about a pipeline. This was $150,000 set aside so that the village and the town could negotiate an intermunicipal agreement where the village would sell to the town sewer and the town would sell to the village water, so that business coming into the village didn't have to get approval from the town for water, and a business coming into the village didn't have to get approval from the town for sewer. So that they would require a double approval system, that they would agree that the village would sell sewer to the town, and the town would agree it would sell water to the village. We set $150,000 aside so this negotiation could go on.
But it says
it,
it's
it doesn't come to $150,000, it doesn't come to
Somehow
it's become a pipeline. That was not
Tracy?
Part of this.
Well, it's I mean, what's before us says that it's for infrastructure. $150,000, I can't see how $150,000 would go toward negotiation. What would it hire? You're saying to hire attorneys to negotiate?
Yes.
No, I think the concept, Richard, I think you're correct in the concept. The implementation is going to cost money. I don't think any town or village official is coming to the table and saying, pay us for our time in negotiating. But there will be attorney time involved, there will be negotiation time, engineering costs. The 150 that we allocate, if we had more to allocate, if we had Ellenville 2 million, maybe we would have proposed that 250,000 went towards this Worthy project so that we could bring industry in. But it's about defraying the costs, and whether it's partly engineering, partly implementation, partly time, we don't know what it's going to be because they haven't submitted an invoice or a voucher or...
We have a contract, we have engineering and environmental costs.
Chris?
So my original question before some of this information just came out the last few minutes was, how long will this take to invest? What's the timetable for this, specifically with this $150,000? And now that this more recent information came about, and, you know, a home rule issue, I don't know what our role would be. Obviously, a lot of this is between, you know, the town of Schwamburg and the village of Ellenville. What type of force? What would the funding, if you're looking at reimbursement from the state, federal grant reimbursement to complete the project? Obviously, it's going to cost a lot more than $150,000.
I think that there's New York City DEP money that's been talked about to expand the water capacity in Worthing. There's Department of Corrections funding. It's a matter of, it's all stalled. You know, the Department of Correction has come to the table and said we're willing to contribute. The DEP has said it's willing to contribute. The purpose of this is to do the engineering and the administrative costs and the environmental work to move this all forward and get it done and talk. And it got the parties to the table to talk about an intermunicipal agreement. And so that was my understanding of how this money was going to be spent, was on towards the engineering and environmental costs.
If all goes well, how long do you think it'll take for this to come to fruition?
There's going to need to be a plan, so I don't know. Yeah.
I think it will be several years. It is not something that will happen instantly.
Yeah.
If you look at the situation, I was chair of the committee on this particular issue. The issue is that the town uses a sewer plant that was built in 1927 to service the prison. And it's the oldest operating sewer plant in New York State. And it is pretty much at the end of its career. Currently, all of the effluent flows to this plant, which is right next to the prison. Our thought on this was to add a pump station there and pump effluent up through the rail trail, or the rail, old railway right-of-way, which happens to go, I know this is amazing, about a half mile away, right past the sewer plant. So there's already an easy way to get piping in a place where a pumping station could be put where all the effluent already flows for this whole area. So it would be very easy to do this. Next in line, the Department of Corrections has historically paid about 85% of the cost for the sewer and recognizes that it needs to be replaced. And this
kind of on board. There's letters going back and forth, which the supervisor, Sir Mr. Distel, would be able to articulate about where they have committed to replacing the plant there, and this would just be a lot less expensive option and a lot quicker because it's a lot easier to put in a pump station and a pipe that pipes up to a facility in the village that has it's running at like 25% of capacity. That's quite a bit of excess capacity that has to be paid for because the cost for a plant is pretty much fixed. And so adding additional effluent through, everyone will end up being better off. The village residents will end up with, overall, with a lower cost because the plant will be running closer to capacity. And the Department of Corrections will end up paying for a good part of the cost because that's the way that it works. So they don't want to be in the sewer business and owning their own plant. And so a lot of thought went into this. This was, and so our feeling about it was, first of all, we had to get the town and the village to come together and accept the idea of working together on this. And in our community, that's not always the easiest thing. And we actually have gotten that cooperation, which is really good. And we have representatives from all sides here tonight. And we just finished it. And so we have Department of Corrections is lined up to do something. This is the kind of thing that can be done fairly quickly. We don't know exactly how quickly, but certainly a lot less than the 5 years or so of siting a plant. Mm-hmm. So it's something that can be done fairly quickly. We are not able to have much in the way of any kind of industrial business in our community, either in the village or in the town, because we do not have capacity for the most basic water and sewer in either community. And that's why I know $150,000 really is not a lot of money. Mm-hmm. We thought that would be enough for the engineering or getting proposals for actually doing this and for paying for the consultants to bring the cooperation together to get the legal agreements in place, because our expectation is that they're going to sell back and forth at cost as opposed to outside users where we have to double or triple the cost because we're saying we're kind of one community here instead of two municipalities trying to kind of take advantage of each other. And we've got that cooperation. So this is an excellent example of how our committee structure worked to really look at how we could attract businesses and discovering that the problems that we have are more systemic, that we need to fix those or we're not going to get any business.
Well, I think your answers demonstrate a lot of foresight and thought planning went into this, and you know, it's going to lay the groundwork for the infrastructure that's needed to bring potential business and economic development in. And then, as you said, this is just sort of the seed money for the process to take place.
Right.
And once that happens, right, you're going to get the funding through DEP, corrections,
yes,
perhaps some other sources. So,
exactly,
thank you.
That's exactly it.
And there's a bonus. There's a bonus. As Mr. Kelly explained, if we run the new sewer line down the existing proposed rail trail, you dig it up, replace the sewer line, you finish it up, guess what? Now you have a half a mile of finished rail trail that was done at the expense of putting in the sewer line. You don't have to pay for half a mile of new rail trail.
Mary Beth.
I agree with everything that's been said. I would just ask, because I feel that this is an important line, if you feel that there needs more money there, I would say to do it now. Like if because it's such an important item, because there's other things on here that I feel I can't wrap my head around until I guess we get to that line item, but I'm just saying, you know, maybe we put a question mark there, because if it needs another $50,000 to make this definitely work, then we should go back and look at that.
Thank you. Jeanette.
Isn't this plan, what is it, 9 point? I don't have it in front of me. But isn't this, each one will be addressed. Before you do anything, you have to have a plan for each one.
Right.
And the object of you being here is for the $1 million to be allocated to the LDC.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, for us to say what's your plan, you've laid out the business community, people that live there, and quite frankly, yeah, to get the village and the town to work together is an incredible achievement. Pretty tough to do.
And we did that on two levels. We did that not only with water and sewer, but it's important to know that we did that with the agreement for town and village representatives to sit on a parks commission to take the assets of the five parks we have in our community and work together in developing them and attracting tourists.
But my point is, no money is allocated until you present a plan.
Correct.
Well, it's allocated, it's not spent. The money's allocated.
But I mean, to be spent.
Sorry, there's a difference.
All right, Tracy. Yeah.
But also, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is once we approve this, in each of these nine areas that we're going through now, the plans will be submitted, in some cases, by different organizations. The water and sewer plan is not going to be submitted as the same by the same group that's submitting the Ellenville, I mean, the Shadowlands Theater plan or the Main Street plan. So to Mary Beth's point, and I know there's some feeling of, what are we doing and we're micromanaging, but the reality is, to Mary Beth's point, that the breakout of the money, this is the framework for the breakout of the money. Yes, if one of these individual nine plans fails to be approved by the EDA, then yes, money can be moved to a different plan. But right now is also the time to look out and analyze. I mean, it's our due diligence to ask questions about the breakdown of the 1 million. And that's no disrespect to the people who went through that.
Tracy, I would disagree with that. I mean, if there is allocation to certain areas, such as the town, the village in the town there, and there you got Shadowland over here, they can't just go around and move that money. I think they have to come back.
No, that's not what I said, Richard.
Yeah,
what
right.
I said is that
you're saying, do they need it in this particular project versus this project?
What I said is off of Mary Beth's suggestion that maybe there should be more money for this, and Jeanette's response was, you know, no one's going to get any money until there's a plan, but the plan's not coming from one person.
All right.
Let's
not get bogged down. Let's go through the plans all together. Let's go through the plans quickly, like we just did that, so we have, you know, a short period of time to do this. Let's go through the plans, and we'll take it at the end.
Okay, and I would just
number
say
two.
That the Ellenville Committee spent, you know, 6 months to come up with the how they had $1 million. So they spent a long time on that to date. The second component is the soft landing fund. This is something that quite a few communities have in other parts of the country, but it isn't prevalent in New York State at all. But it's a lot of businesses that are looking all over the country will ask if Ulster County or if any of our towns or communities have something like this. It's for engineering costs. It can be for a roof. It can be for, but it's got to be a business that's going to create jobs. And we've been starting to do some research around the country and see what other municipalities offer. Basically, any developers for new businesses in the town of Fort Worthing or the village of Ellenville will be creating rules. The EDA will have rules, will be an application. And if they don't create the jobs that they promise that they're going to create for these funds, then there would be clawbacks as well. So that's pretty straightforward, and that will be on an application basis.
And these for existing businesses that are there that need improvements, they can tap
if they're creating
money,
jobs,
if they're
right.
Creating
it's
jobs,
for job
right.
creation or new businesses.
And you can piggyback that with shovel-ready monies and various other monies, correct?
Right. Shovel-ready is for the municipalities, but this would be for the businesses itself.
Chris, quickly.
How long would you anticipate, and I'm not looking to put you on the spot by asking this, how long would you anticipate that soft landing fund would last for? And that's going to be obviously contingent upon requests, but any type of, you know, is this going to last like 5 years or 3 years, a year and a half?
Well, I think they would like to get it done at ASAP, but
right.
unfortunately they don't know
just
who's going to apply,
how,
who's not going to apply.
I can tell you that I hope that it lasts for 3 months and that we have enough applicants that want to bring businesses into our community that we run out.
So, right. So the quicker you can...
And I think that this is in response to the private businesses. There were quite a few private businesses that petitioned
yes.
the Ellenville Million Committee, and they didn't want to give money to private business. That wasn't their goal. It was more to create a fund that then the private businesses could apply, and there would be objective criteria, and it would be, with clawbacks and whatnot. So not, instead of giving a grant that didn't have didn't have requirements, that they could create a way to deal with requirements.
So if this $175,000 investment moves quickly, that's a good sign that everything's coming
together. That would be a great sign, yes.
Right, okay.
Third item.
The next one is a tourism.
Hold on, Tracy.
The clawbacks will have to do with job creation specifically?
Yeah.
Like the idea.
Like the idea, does it? Okay. The next one is the tourism and marketing campaign. And this would be to contract with a public relations firm that does tourism marketing. I would think that would be within the next, say 2 years. I would think $100,000 would be either for 1 year or 2 years. The improvements to outdoor recreational opportunities, for those of you who haven't been to Ellenville Parks, I will take the opportunity to invite you myself. They're spectacular. Littman Park is a mountain biking mecca. People actually come from all over the country now to Littman Park.
Nationally known.
To go mountain biking, and nobody knows about it. It's this like unsung hero. And so this is, as Julie said, an opportunity for the town and the village to partner, to work together, and to really promote the incredible natural resources that they have.
Suzanne, before you go any further, on the tourism part of the 100,000, we have a tourist department in Ulster County. How is that going to work in conjunction with Ulster County Tourism?
So we work really well. The Office of Economic Development and the Tourism Department work hand in hand all the time. The Economic Development Alliance does the marketing right now for economic development. So when we put the contract together, we just envisioned that the economic development, that the EDA would do the RFP. But we share the same templates, we do the same type of work that they do, and so we'll just continue to work together.
Mm-hmm. Next.
The Shadowland Theater, Shadowlands has actually recently applied for consolidated funding application money from the state. We helped them with their application. There's going to be a match that they're going to need, so it's actually... and the Shadowlands won't get the money, won't know if they get the state money until 2006, so the end of 2015 for 2016. So that probably won't be the first check that's written, because they want to use the money that we grant to them to leverage as much other outside money as they can. And so the county's money will really be able to help them to leverage other monies. The Hunt Memorial Building are the most amazing volunteers that I should say some of the most amazing volunteers I've worked with in Ulster County. We already have their plan. They know exactly what they want to do. They have contractors who are local, who are eager to get going. The minute the legislature approves this and the EDA approves this, they want to get this going. They have plans for a visitor center. There's a potential to have retail in the building. It's right in the heart of Ellenville. It's right literally in the center of town and the village. And so they're raring to go. And that's for capital.
You have to say it is the heart of the village.
It is a heart, yes. then we have the Main Street improvement. That was $25,000. And what we envision is the village of Ellenville giving us a plan for what they need as far as if it's improved street lighting, if it's park benches, if it's... sidewalk improvements, and then they would give us a plan. They would, do the work, and Ellenville Million would pay for that. That brings us to the $75,000. That for grant writing, project management, and similar services, and that is really to bring in whether it's grant writers, whether it's an organization like Pattern for Progress, whether we have to see what we need because we want to turn this $1 million into more money. And so that the vision for that, for those funds, was to help us to grow the money. Also, if we need to do reporting, if we need to do whatever else we need to do, that money can help us to administer. It wasn't for any county staff, county time. It's more to bring in experts to help us make it as useful as possible. And lastly is the broadband project. And I think, like the water and sewer, I think those are the two areas that sort of need to be developed the most. The broadband money was set aside as an inducement to hope that Lightower or Verizon or Time Warner, would bring cable there, would bring broadband to Ellenville, and we're hopeful that we can use it in that capacity, but if we can't, we have some other ideas that we're investigating. The governor has announced broadband for all, and we're hoping that there's going to be state money that's coming. There's no funding mechanism for that yet, but this money could be used as the match for that potentially.
And also to have the ability to have broadband in our community, businesses are challenged without it. So for us to invite new businesses and new people to move here, to have that option for them, it makes it more of an incentive.
Any questions? Carl?
I'm not sure if it might be it's more of a planning question. I know that the state has monies for what's called the Main Street Grant, but that's usually matching funds between businesses, homeowners, and the state where they have to. Has Ellenville applied for Main Street Grants in the past? Or
I believe that
I think that's up to $250,000.
It's a combination of things. There are a number of people working on the complete street concept, which, you know, Sorbitty is involved with quite a bit, I understand. I think Kingston was to the section. We're in the process of doing the Safe Routes to School, which is a sidewalk project, and dovetails into the main street. So it's a combination. I also met with Megan Taylor from the Empire State Development over in Newburgh to discuss that type of thing. So there's a combination of things going on, but not a succinct Main Street application that has gotten yet
to anyone. Because I know to apply for the grant, you need a grant writer, and that usually costs anywhere between $1,500 and $2,500. So that might be, you might allocate that. Because I think curb appeal definitely is something that businesses and people who want to move into a community look at. I'm not telling you what to do.
That could be part of that. So that would fit into that $75,000, and that's certainly what we're hoping to figure out how to leverage these funds. And so that's a great idea.
Any other questions? Everybody feel much more comfortable? Uncomfortable? The same? The only thing I'd like to see here to add it to this resolution is the fact that the unfortunately, the legislators did not have a big participation other than TJ and Jim, I guess, in this whole situation. But that the UCEDA give a report back to the Economic Development Committee, which in turn will give it back to the legislative body as a progressive, how you're progressing, where you're going in the future, so that we are not blindsided by anything. So I would like that to be added to that resolution. As part of that resolution, I hope that someone will second it and it passes with that kind of.
I'd be more than happy to second it, Mr. Chair.
Excuse me?
I'd be more than happy to second it.
Thank you, James.
You're very welcome.
When we get the vote, we'll probably add that in there.
That's great. No, I report to them quarterly anyway, so this will be
you
part
report,
of. I report to Economic Development quarterly.
Okay.
So, as part of my quarterly report that I provide anyway about marketing and the other. Funds that the EDA gets from the county, I would include that in my quarterly report.
Great. I appreciate it very much. And there again, just don't misconstrue what we're doing here. We want to thank you for all the volunteers that put a lot of time and effort to get to this point. And there again, we'll find out tonight if everybody is on board.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
All right.
Rich, any other questions?
I'd like to make a comment if you don't mind.
I do not mind. Do you mind?
You're the chairman.
I'm gonna bring your point up later on, but I mean that's what you're.
I'll just like to bring it up now at the informational meeting, and then you can bring it up later to regular ways and means,
if you like. It was on my agenda to bring it up. But go on.
I want to thank the committee for their hard work. I do appreciate it. I just want everybody to know there's other distressed towns in Ulster County. So and I'm not here to throw a monkey wrench or to stall this project at all. Like Ellenville, Plattekill has lost a lot of resorts over the years, probably a dozen or so, and several hundred jobs that go along. Thousands of people from New York City used to come up every weekend to Plattekill. The last resort closed in, I think, 2005. Also, Ellenville might have lost the casino back in November, whenever it was announced, but all of Ulster County lost out on the casino. And one thing I like to bring up that people don't realize, that the southern part of county lost out even more when the casino in Newburgh failed to get their bid. A casino in Newburgh would have had more of a direct impact on economic growth in Marlborough and Lloyd and Plattekill. That casino would have been 8 miles away from Plattekill, so that would have been more of an impact. Plattekill has a higher unemployment rate than the village of Ellenville by a couple of percentage points. So hopefully you all can keep that in mind when any future money is being handed out. And I didn't want to come across as brash when I sent out that letter asking for $750,000. Imagine the nerve of a legislator asking for $750,000 just because Ellenville's getting it. So I thank you all for your time.
Just so that everybody's well aware, I'm not sure or understand what Kevin's talking about. Kevin sent a letter to myself and all the members of the Ways and Means. I think everybody received it, saying that he is not overly concerned about the village of Devil Mill. Whatever happens there, happens there. He's very content with that. But he lives in Platicki. He wants to see Platicki get something for reasons that he stated. There again, he goes on to this, stress why Platicki has these needs. He's not asking for $1 million. He's only asking for $750,000 for Platicki. So, Kevin, we will take this up in Ways and Means. There again, as I asked Ken before, that this money is supposedly a continuing fund. So maybe next year, 2017, we can revisit this and maybe look at the Platicki and other municipalities, not just Platicki in general, but all municipalities. Gracie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
When you talk about this money being a continuing fund, I just want clarity on that. The money that's coming from the casino by law, are there any restrictions on how we can spend that money, or is that money, my understanding is that money is designated for certain uses?
Generally, the funds would be used for addressing any impact that the casino has on the county. And also property tax stabilization.
And education.
And education.
Right. So just to be clear, the money that we may be allocating tonight doesn't fall into that.
It's not the casino
it's
money.
It's not the casino money. So we can't talk about the casino money as something that could go to Platicki or could go somewhere. It can go to the uses that...
Hold on. I'm a little confused. Oh, we stated before that we were taking money from the casino money that were coming into Ulster County, utilizing it for the Ellenville Million.
Well, certainly we're wrangling over cash flow. We're allocating funds right now, I believe half of it from contingency and half of it from fund balance, which will be replenished with casino dollars in 16, which, quite frankly, property tax stabilization is a broad category that pretty much fits anything that we appropriate in the county budget.
So, Tracy, in answer to your question, it was a very broad category. There's a lot of things that could fit into that category. So, yes,
right, but
we can utilize that for the future, even though it's not designated as casino money.
Well, we can use it to the extent that, as Ken said, money comes in, and then we take it out from somewhere else. You'll never see a resolution that says, anticipated funds and then coming out of going towards something like this. I mean, we can't.
Certainly, I'd be comfortable in arguing that these funds for Ellenville, the Warsaw area, dealing with the impact of the casino. This also deals with the effect that we did not get casino ones, negative funds. Again, it fits in the category.
Well, economic development improvements help the bottom line across the board and across the county, no question.
And I think you can run that argument right across every municipality in Ulster County.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, I just might add, too, also, going forward, we also have to look at the impacts of the casino on the area. We may have some law enforcement issues we've got to address. We may have issues with problem gambling that we may have to appropriate some funds to address. So, again, this is an initial stage, but as we go forward, we'll be looking at the true impacts of the casino in Ulster County, making recommendations. So while there's additional funds coming on a recurring basis, we may have to appropriate those dollars to address some very real needs. There may be traffic issues and all kinds of things like that.
Chris?
So real quick, so based on this recent exchange of verbatim and the information within it, it's... So the 2016 casino money will be allocated to replenish this as the quid pro quo, and then for something like what legislator Robert suggested would be money for Platicki would be 2017 casino money potentially, like hypothetically.
Yeah, I wouldn't use the word quid pro quo. We're dealing with cash flow.
Well, right. What I'm saying, one is replacing the other a year later.
It's really healthy discussion with your other. We're doing something new. We're actually taking our development corporation, trying some new things, expanding on some areas where we haven't gone in the past, in a real small scale. And if we have a real positive impact, we can show results. I think it would be appropriate for us to talk about expanding those efforts and looking at the use of this technique and this plan and applying it to other areas of the county. It would only improve the economy of the county as a whole. And it's a good thing for us to talk about.
And the only thing I might add to that, Ken, is to involve the legislative body to that process beforehand.
I'm standing right here talking to you.
Well, beforehand, not the day of. Any other questions?
All the questions.
Mary, you got your hand up. Do you want to say something?
I did, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to address this issue of, you know, equity and equality. And I understand that you all represent different areas of the county. I get that. I've been there, and it's a tough line to walk because at the end of the day, we represent the county as a whole, and we are certainly a part of that county. And you talked, Legislative Roberts, about the impact of maybe a casino in Newburgh, okay? And that was something that might have been. We're dealing with the reality of what is, not what might have been, because deep down, we probably knew that casino wasn't coming to a worse, and we knew that. So we're dealing with double-digit unemployment for the last 10 years. We're dealing with no jobs, no industry, nothing coming in, so our young people are leaving because what's there for them? So to say a casino in Orange County would have been a blessing, sure, of course it would. A lot of things would be a blessing and a boom. But don't forget, our close proximity to Monticello, we're still going to have the problems. We're still going to deal with the traffic because if you're coming from the north, you're coming down 209, you're coming through Horsing, through Ellenville, and you're making the right turn on Route 52 to get to Monticello. So we're still going to, we're less than 20 miles from the Concord, from the site. So we're still going to be dealing with all of the problems and all of the bad things that everyone said about a casino with nothing to soften the blow. So that's, I applaud all of you. I get the tough job you're doing, but you know, we can't, yeah. You can't compare apples to oranges, not in this instance. Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
Mr. Chairman, Resolution 314 must be voted upon at this meeting.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion before we proceed with that?
I thought this was just an information.
When I was told that it's on the agenda, we have to vote on it.
I'll move the resolution.
Well, move the resolution with two amendments or two modifications, if you don't mind.
Yes.
One being that with Suzanne, she's going to report to the Economic Development Committee. And there again, they will give an update of the progress of where they are regarding.
Would you like the language?
Would I like the language?
Yeah, wrong. I wrote it for you.
Oh, here we go.
Resolved that the UCEDA shall provide a quarterly report to the Economic Development Committee on the progress and disbursements of the funds.
All right. And secondly, on the financial impact, be $500,000 from fund balance and $500,000 from contingency. All right, if you want to make those as part of your resolution, what's that?
It's there, isn't it?
It's $1 million total. It's not $500 fund balance.
That's what it has.
The impact will say $1 million.
The impact says $1
million. Yeah, but we're taking $500 out of contingency, $500 fund balance.
That's what it says.
Well, it was in the middle of
according to
the
mine, though.
It says that the breakdown is here and then the total is there.
Yeah, the last page.
Okay,
last
all right,
page.
Yeah, all right. But on the bottom, the financial impact of $1 million. All right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So just the one amendment.
Yes.
Okay.
First, okay.
Please move
the 314.
Okay. So I'm moving the 314.
Jen, just a second.
Yes.
All right. And now make the amendment to the resolution 314, which was just read.
All right. So I'll move the amendment as read by council.
Second.
Any discussion?
We're voting on the amendment first.
On the amendment first, yes. Any discussion on the amendment? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone against? If not, resolution with the amendment of 314. Move.
I move it.
Second, James. Any discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. We have a voting means meeting starting in about 2 minutes.
You're staying here.
You're going to stay here, yeah.
Motion to adjourn.
What's that?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.